Welcome to Let's Talk About Tests Baby, a weekly podcast about software testing, QA processes, agile, and other general geekery. My name's Jem Hill, and I'll be your host.
Hello listeners, I hope you've enjoyed your fortnight break from my voice. I am here for episode 50 of Let's Talk About Tests Baby, and first, I want to give you a recommendation for another podcast. It's called The Bright Sessions. And it's a podcast about therapy sessions for unusual beings or people with unusual powers. And what you need to do is, while you're listening to this, go and subscribe to that and then queue it up for right after this. Because if you like fiction podcasts, then it's great. It's really well done. So I highly recommend. I've also finally got into TANIS, which is a podcast about some supernatural things. I started listening to the Black Tapes podcast, which is great if you've not listened to that as well. And there's a one from the same people called TANIS, which I was too focused on the Black Tapes to get into, but now I've got into TANIS and that's also incredible. So the Black Tapes and TANIS, listen to them both if you like supernaturally creepy, scary stuff as well. So today I want to talk about vocab, because testers bloody love vocab, don't we? Cannot get enough of the vocab. Some of the debates that I see, and not even debates, just the level of discourse and discussion that I see on blogs and Slack and Twitter and all avenues of the testing community online is just so high. Like, sometimes I feel like I need a firmer background in philosophy and formal logic just to even begin to join in. And while that might be intimidating at times, most of the time it's just incredibly impressive and interesting. I've mentioned before how much I love the passion of the testing community. We love what we do, and we are constantly striving to be better. As a community, we're also, unsurprisingly, very specific in our wording. And that generally is because a lot of the time, the words we use can be misinterpreted, or the words we use don't quite fit what we want to use them for, so we have to define those. I mean, unfortunately, and this is a rant for another time, but there are some people who will use that level of specificity just to shut down debates, because they will just say, oh, you're using the wrong word, and then go pat themselves on the back for being so clever, and the discussion stops. But for the most part, we're an incredibly friendly bunch, and I've seen that behaviour called out when it's happened. So vocabulary itself, as well as being part of many debates, is also a debate. Like, the testing not checking debate and what word should be used when is something that's constantly being churned as new people come into the fold and as it gets more widespread. The whole, not really controversy, but the disdain maybe for certifications, and then talking about what counts as professional testing, or even what counts as testing, never mind professional testing, is another one that's always around. The one I want to talk about, though, is one that I struggle with a bit. And that's the subject of job titles and describing what it is I do. When people ask me what I do, I say I'm a tester, because people know what that is, kind of, and it's easy. It's a quick way of saying this is what I do. My actual job title is QA tester, which implies that I test the QA, which I kind of love because I kind of do test the quality assurance process. If you assume the quality assurance process is a end-to-end process that is a function of every single team member, then when work gets to me after it's gone through all the planning and the dev and the code review and deployment and it comes to me for me to test, then yeah, I am testing all those things, because when you're testing a feature, you're not just testing the functionality of that feature that's in front of you. You're testing assumptions, both your own and that of the developer who built the work. You're testing how the feature compares to the planning that you've done and how it fits in with the work that's come before it. You're testing that what's in front of you meets your knowledge and context of the client and their needs and the project as a whole. One of the reasons I am so insistent on meeting the client as early as possible in the project and being in requirements gathering workshops is so I can get a feel for the client and their business and their needs, and more importantly, their priorities, because you need to meet their priorities as well as meeting their needs. We have one client who is incredibly visual. He finds it hard to visualize something through words alone. He has to have something he can look at and see this is how it's going to look. And while we'll sketch or wireframe things out for him. Sometimes when he has a feature, he's come to us, he said, I'm not sure how you want to implement this, but I want it to look like this at the end. And it's just a new way of saying, this is what I want to do. He's just saying, this is what I want to build and present to my customers. And we can then interpret that as we wish. And it will always be the front end and the visual stuff that he's most, that's his biggest priority. So we put our biggest focus on the front end. Yeah, the back end's still got to work, it's still got to function, but it has to look slick and it has to be perfectly on brand and it has to be just perfect from end to end on a multitude of devices, because he wants his site to be accessible everywhere. That's from like smart TVs down to a phone. That's his priority, and because we met the client early in the process, we know that's his priority and that is what we work to. And that's how QA is everyone's responsibility. The lead dev who's doing the code reviews knows that they need to be picky about the front end stuff. The front end developer knows they need to bring their A game for this work, because that is what's most likely going to come back from either from me or from UAT. While there are some contexts, usually regulatory ones, where it might make sense, there is a person responsible for QA. In our context, it doesn't make sense. One person can't be QA. They don't have the spread or the role to do so. And there are plenty of people who have spoken about that more eloquently than I can, and I will link those in the show notes. So when I introduce myself as a tester. Though it feels like that is me selling myself. Most of this podcast is less about the nitty-gritty side of actually testing and instead about requirements gathering and building the right product. And that is where my priorities lie, because that makes my life easier. Don't get me wrong, I love testing. Exploratory testing is literally one of my favourite things to do in the entire world. But I much prefer doing that on something that I know to the best of our abilities in the context that we've been given for the project fits the client's needs. That is where my interests are. On the flip side, I'm aware that without the term tester, I wouldn't be here doing this. I wouldn't be in the Slack channels. I wouldn't have gone to Brighton. I wouldn't be going to Test Pass in Manchester, and I wouldn't be talking there. This community we've built under the ridiculously broad umbrella of testing is wonderful. And without it, would the community exist? I mean, yes, arose by any other name, etc., but would the community find another umbrella term? Because yes, the term is too broad, but it's its broadness that is strength, because we have such a diversity of people and contexts and opinions, and that's what makes us so passionate and such a great community to be a part of. And I don't think I've come to any great conclusions here. I still have no idea how to describe my job function. I love the idea of testing QA, and then UAT is the client testing our QA process as well. But other than that, I've no idea. I am, however, incredibly grateful that we all identify broadly as testers, regardless of how ill-fitting that term is, because I absolutely love talking and reading and listening and meeting to you all, and I look forward to continuing to do so for many years to come. And as with all my subjects, this one especially, I think, is one that I'm really interested in hearing people's opinions on. And I know you've all got opinions on job titles and vocab, guys. You testers, we all do. Come share them with me, okay? I don't even know what other people's job titles are. I see so many broad and varied job titles. I don't think I've seen two people with the same job title. So I want to know your job title and how that affects your actual job. Do you get boxed in by your job title? Or is your job title just a title and you can spread out and do whatever you want to? I'm interested. Get in touch through all the usual channels. Email is letstalkabouttests@gmail.com. Twitter is @letstalktests. The website is letstalkabouttests.xyz. Many ways to get in touch. I will be back in 2 weeks for episode 51. I will see you then. Bye.